Hello, hello. Welcome to Under the Olive Tree. Today I want to take some time to talk about time. And its weirdness. Weird because time is, as we know, relative. Right? Time is relative. Relative to what? It's relative to where you are. It's relative to how fast you're moving. It's even relative to your size. So if you're moving, I mean, technically, like, if you could hypothetically move at the speed of light, then time would be moving much slower for you and much faster for everything else. And on a size scale, regularly we live, like, you know, day in, day out, in a linear fashion. But when you get into, like, there's this thing in physics called, like, quantum mechanics. It's basically the study of, like, really small particles, right? Atoms. And when you get that small, you start to notice that things don't really work the same way as they normally would. And I'll give you an example of what I mean. Regularly, when we study light, it's studied as waves. They're wavelengths. But when you get into the quantum level of it, like, it's very small, they become particles called photons, right? Actual things, like little dots traveling. And they're not really waves anymore. They're like actual things. Another weird thing that happens at this small scale level is something called entanglement. When, like, if you have two particles and you do something to them, like you change its polarization or you change its spin, then they become entangled with one another. And so even if those particles are light years apart, they'll react in the same way. They're connected, even without any communication between them. I guess the point I'm trying to make really is that when you get down to it, the building blocks of matter, like atoms, they're very unpredictable. They're very odd in their makeup, and they're very hard to measure. They're very hard to even understand. So, if we can't even, like, really get down that small and measure something that's at that level, and all of a sudden time starts becoming distorted one way or another, then what if time as we experience it is not necessarily even linear? Like, we experience it that way, but it's only that way because we perceive it that way. What if everything all throughout history, now, tomorrow, yesterday, and it's all happening all at once in one big moment, and it's our consciousness that's flowing through, and it's perceiving it all in a linear way? I know that sounds crazy, and it is. It does sound crazy. That sounds crazy. But at the same time, it's like, you know, you think about, oh, if you believe, right, if you believe in a creator and you believe in the one creator, and this creator exists outside of time and space, well, okay, then it makes sense that he can, because we're subjected to time. It's woven into our being. You cannot really give it substance the way you can give even light substance. At the smallest level, it's a photon. It has some substance to it. But time doesn't. Time is woven into your being. It's woven into your consciousness. It's woven into your reality. And even then, it's relative and it changes. If you lived on another planet, a day would be different. If you were traveling at a different speed, the day would be different. So if time is this relative thing, then hypothetically, not really, if something could exist outside of time and space, then you couldn't really even apply a question like before or after to something like that. Because everything that happens before or after, to even impose something like that, it would have to exist within this woven system of time. And time is dependent upon those building blocks of matter and the movement of space. So if something is not really a part of space, and it's not made of the same things, then how can you project your human qualities or your space world qualities onto something that lives outside of time and space? And therefore, the question I get all the time, I guess the reason why I'm even thinking about this at all, is because, you know, people like to ask, Farhan, I was here, my father was here before me, my grandfather was here before them. And it goes back, so what was there before God? I mean, the question itself is already wrong, because you have this assumed premise where you're subjugating God to this concept of time. And God is not bound by time, because he exists outside of time and space. He's not made of atoms. Right, he's not a part of this, the movement of these celestial bodies that we use to understand and measure our day. And like I said, it's completely relative. And even more so, it's relative to size. So if something on a very small scale, all of a sudden, doesn't follow your rules of time, and that's something we know, we can measure it, we can see that these small particles act differently because of how small they are. Imagine something on the opposite extreme. Something so incredibly massive, beyond your comprehension massive. And you're trying to apply the laws of time and physics. Those same laws become shaky and not applicable to things that you can measure in this world, to small things. How can you scale it up and try to apply what you know on a basic level to something so massive? And that's God, right? Beyond your comprehension, he's huge. To say what came before, you know, I said it earlier, I'll elaborate about this assumed premise, which is already wrong. I'll give you an example of what I mean. If someone says, Farhan, when are you going to give birth? I'd be like, what? What are you talking about? You've already made this assumption before asking the question that I have the capability to give birth. The question itself is wrong. You cannot even ask something like that of me, because I do not even have the capability. So thus the question is not applicable. Farhan, when will you give birth? Well, Farhan cannot give birth, so what do you mean by that? God, what was there before you? Well, time doesn't apply to God, so what do you mean by that? Right? Your physics don't really apply to God, so what do you mean by that? And I guess that's really what I'm getting at, is that you have the signs right in front of you already, that when you get down to a certain level, things become weird and different and immeasurable. Accurately, at least. Right? There's this thing called the uncertainty principle, where basically, if you try to measure the momentum of an electron, you could not know its position at the exact same time. And momentum is the way that it's traveling, right? You could not measure its travel and know its position all at once. And the more you try to know the opposite, if you try to recognize its position, you could never know its momentum. I mean, these things stop working the same way we understand them to. So just for a second, maybe I, myself, when I hear about this, I'm humbled. Because I'm like, damn, I thought I understood. Okay, I wake up in the morning, I go to sleep at night. But to say that these things don't have any holding on as it gets larger and larger and larger, as we know, small things can have big effects. They can affect big things. And when it becomes so uncertain at such a small scale, how is it affecting you or me? At the very least, when we see these things, do we recognize them as signs? Do we see that there's parameters to what we can know, or at least even try to know? Because the whole issue at that quantum level, it's not even a matter of, oh, we don't have a microscope good enough. Because people say that, right? Oh, it's just a matter of science catching up. No, it's not. That's literally just how it happens. You can look into it yourself, and you should. Right? I'm nobody. I'm not some astrophysicist that knows about, oh my God, all of this stuff. You could probably hear how dumb I am in my voice. But nonetheless, these things that I'm telling you are legit. Look into it, and look into it better than me. All I'm saying is that keep an open mind. You can't really apply your physics to things that are so small, so why try to apply them to things that are so much larger? Much, much, much larger. As small as an atom is, God is so much larger. Right? If that makes sense. It made more sense to me in my head. But you get it. In any case, and that's if you believe, right? So, and as a believer, because I'm always looking for reasons to be like, God, I believe you. I believe in you. But I have to make it make sense to my head. At the very least, let's make it make sense that it doesn't make sense. Right? That it's hard to understand. That things become uncertain. That there's something going on here that I don't understand, that I don't know. But if all of these signs can come together and they're knocking at my door saying, hey, you know, someone told, all of these signs come together and there's a prophet knocking at my door saying, hey, there's one God and I'm a messenger sent by him, right? And this is the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who came with the signs and told you, oh, there's one God. Right, these are all the prophets throughout history. So then you take that information and then other information, right? Because life is not just one piece of knowledge at a time, right? It's you creating a image with everything you know into consideration. Don't leave anything out, right? It all matters. On one hand, you have this knowledge of science, and then you have other knowledge coming to you from things that go beyond what science can actually measure. So you take that information and this information and decide what's true, what's not true, what makes sense to the brain, to the intellect. Because if I'm trying to understand the concept of time and I don't include God into the equation, let's just say, then it's very chaotic, right? Even if you're not measuring it at a very small scale, at a regular scale, it's relative, right? Things moving faster are experiencing time differently than things moving slower. Where is the balance in that? So if I'm trying to make sense of the world around me already, it begins to make more sense when you start thinking of, okay, then there's one God that created the system, who lives outside of the system, and therefore he could have existed forever and ever. Like, you can't even really apply the concept of before and after to him. So it's a collection of information that you get and you sift through. Information like when the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, obviously the Quran was revealed through him, and when God describes himself, he uses names like Al-Kabir and Al-Wasir. These words, these names, right, they mean huge. Al-Kabir means big, great, right? The word means great, like, oh, like, you know, you hear Allahu Akbar. Actually, it means God is the greatest, right? Even Christian Arabs say Allahu Akbar, because that's what they call God, right? The name is, the Arabic word for God is Allah. So, Al-Kabir means great, but it also means big. And interestingly enough, Kabir in that pattern, right? Before we talked about root letters, and the root letters of Kabir are the sounds like ka, ba, ra. And when you put it into that pattern, Kabir means forever. It's like the utmost great, the hugest. And then he calls himself Al-Wasir. It means the ever encompassing, the boundless. Right? And so here comes this man with this kind of information, and you're like, now you study it in science, and you're like, oh, it's possible for things to be so small. It's possible for things to be so unbound at that small level. What's to say about the massive level? Something so massive that it even goes beyond the background space radiation of this universe. Right? That massive. Boundless. So it lines up. That's all I'm saying. You know, and take from that what you want. Is that the way God described himself lines up with thought, at least. And proposing these ideas of time and projecting concepts of physics onto something that is beyond physics, it's illogical. It doesn't make sense. You know, don't ask me when I'm going to give birth. Anyway, hopefully that gets you thinking. And, come back again. Bye.